CliffCentral.com.
All right. It's Dancing with Van Shana Sky. CliffCentral.com. 11 after 7. Are you having a good start to your day? People making you happy this morning, or are people already getting in your way? I hope it's not the latter. That's a terrible way to start your day. You know, if you're immediately looking for fights with people, that's usually a bad sign.
Oof.
Huh? It happens, though. You know. All right, let's get into a little bit of news. It's time to see what's going on. Here's my buddy.
All right, so let's get into more details with regards to this Brian Molefe story and about how he was apparently earning or is earning 57,000 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
Must be nice. The South African National Defense Union says that they are going to go ahead and open a criminal case because the former Eskom boss doesn't have the qualifications to be a military colonel. Well, I mean, who made him the colonel?
The chief of the defense force, who's also the state president.
He has been linked to the Gupta family, of course, during his time at Transnet and at Eskom.
Yes.
And then he resumed his duties in the army back in August. And allegedly, or at least according to the city press, since August, he has been earning this 57,000 rand a month.
Really? We only noticed now. Here's Brian Molefe's comment on the matter. As you know, he cries all the
Very
time.
Very eloquent. Yeah.
That's what he had to say.
Now, the SANDF say that Molefe has been a reserve officer since 2009. But the defense union's Biki Grief says that he doesn't have the military rank to serve in his capacity. So then why is he there?
Yeah, exactly.
Grief has described the whole thing as irregular and unlawful. But you know what? It has been done. It is what it is. At the same time, the DeForce says that it's not aware of any payments made to Brian Molefe this year.
Hmm. Someone's lying.
Yeah, somebody's always lying.
Well, it doesn't mean haven't been made, though. I mean, not being aware of something and something happening are two different things.
No.
Look, all they said that they've gone through their records and they're not aware of this 57,000 rand that's been leaving some other account into Molefe's account since August. They're saying that they're not aware of it.
Brian Molefe must be so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like, everywhere he just gets shunted around and, like, given sheltered employment everywhere. He's an embarrassment. Like, surely, didn't he embarrass his children enough on television when he burst into tears?
Gareth,
now
like
that he's been
kid.
Fingered as the guy who's the Gupta bot, you know, like he works for the Guptas. It's embarrassing.
He was like a kid in junior school. The teacher had to physically open his book, to physically tell him to put his sandwiches away, to physically tell him you can only go to the bathroom at the bell. And that's his life. So he's not embarrassed. He's just, that's his life.
Like a special needs child.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like they physically had to take him to get picked up by the mother, otherwise he would get lost en route.
Yeah, right.
One of those.
Yeah, but slower. The other kids are much quicker. They caught on faster.
Well, all because right. He was given the special attention, he never felt he had to change.
Right.
He was overly indulged, so now it's like, well, who's giving me something next?
Right. Well, let's see if Colonel Molefe manages to get his shit together. And finally get a job that he actually deserves to have. Seems like this guy can get any job he wants. I feel like the military today. All right, let's get you a military job. I feel like running the power utility. Let me do that. Okay, we'll get you that job. I feel like being finance minister. Whoa, 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 whoa. That one they wouldn't give him. All right. So that's Brian Molefe. Do you want to hear from Joseph Jackson?
No.
I don't mean on the phone. I mean like we got a clip of him here.
Okay.
He's talking. He's recorded a special message for Blanket. You know, his grandson.
Which one is Blanket again?
The youngest one.
The youngest Latino-looking one.
Okay, thank you.
The one who was, yeah, the Latino-looking one who was dangled from the balcony by his father, Michael Jackson, when he was still alive.
Okay.
Right, here's Joseph Jackson's message to his grandson, Blanket. because apparently Catherine Jackson, that's the wife, Michael's mother, is old, and she's the guardian of Blanket. Right, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
So here's Joseph. Listen to this.
Oh, right. Okay. Hello, Blanket. This is Joe Jackson. Man, your health is, I don't know what, you're like your father. Now I understand why your father got to had you wear masks all the time, because news people was bothering him so much, and so they tried to disguise you as much as possible. But I know what you mean, man. But I want you to stay healthy and stay off those bikes, too, you know. Don't ride none. Yeah.
What was that, someone dying in the background? Did you hear that? So he's, what is he saying to Blanket? Stay healthy. You're like your father. Keep away from germs. Wear a mask and do not ride a bike. Is that what he's saying?
I'm still trying to figure out what he's trying to say.
Maybe he gets more lucid.
Don't ride none. Yeah. But anyway, tell all your brothers I said hello and stay clean and healthy.
Right.
And see a lot of movies if you can. Good movies, of course. Be like me. Be tough. Don't be tough in a good way. And you live a long time. And above all, I love you all. You take care, man. You be good. And I'll see you next time I come to L.A. Okay? Adios.
All right. There's Joseph Jackson. He's sitting in his study with like a signed Michael Jackson Bad poster in the background. And he's got a whole lot of memorabilia from his son up on the wall behind him. But he's fiddling with his hands. I mean, he's a senile old man, clearly.
Yeah.
You know, Joseph Jackson.
As if this kid's life wasn't screwed up enough.
Blanket really couldn't wait for this interview. Blanket couldn't wait for the special message from his grandfather, Joseph Jackson.
And then why did you... Another thing that I don't understand is why did you have to post it on social media? Why don't you just call?
Because he doesn't have a relationship with him, obviously.
Your grandkid.
That's why he doesn't say, this is your granddaddy. It's, Joseph Jackson.
Oh, yeah, no. Joseph never wanted any of his kids to call him dad or granddad. You call him by his name.
Right. By his brand.
Joseph.
That's his brand, exactly. Hey, don't give this guy trouble. He raised at least two, maybe if you're being generous, three or four superstars.
Lest we forget.
I mean, Michael was a superstar. Mm. No doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Janet, superstar. Mm. LaToya,
Tito. Yeah.
Okay, star. Not Tito.
Not superstar. Jermaine. He's a star.
Jermaine, maybe.
I heard something recently that Jermaine's changed his last name.
To what?
To Jackson.
Oh, yes. To Jack and then S-U-N.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did that.
Why?
Because he thinks it's going to be interesting. It's like when Prince changed his name to the symbol.
No, he's gonna be, So Joseph Jackson changed his name from Joseph Jackson to Joseph Jackson.
No, because Jermaine Jackson.
Jermaine. Yeah. Just because he didn't want to be labeled.
A lot of Jacksons.
Didn't want to be labeled with the Jackson legacy.
Oh, well, he's on the line. Do you want to speak to him? Obviously,
to who?
Like Joseph. He wants to talk to you. He doesn't like to talk to anyone else.
Yeah, okay.
All right, Mr. Jackson, I'm going to let you talk to my buddy, but please be respectful this time. You come on here and you're so rude, and really, she doesn't need that first thing on a Tuesday morning, all right?
I will be very polite.
Joe...
I got to explain something to you.
Okay.
I talked to Blanket because Blanket is one-third of the estate of Michael Jackson. He gets one-third of the money.
Right, he's 15 now, isn't he?
So if I don't cozy up to him, I'm not going to get some of that Michael Jackson money.
Oh, so this is all about the money?
Hell yeah! What you think it was all about? You think I have a relationship with someone called Blanket? What, are you stupid?
Well, he is kind of your grandson.
Yeah, well, not... Have you seen that child?
Yes, it's...
Not like you think...
Joe, why
he's closer related to Ricky Martin than he is to me.
Joe, why didn't you just phone Blanket? Why did you have to go on social media and make it everybody else's?
I don't have his number. Catherine took it away. She deleted my number from his phone, and she said to me, I'm not allowed to contact him. She changed his number too.
Did she take it away after your last episode in Brazil where you were found with strippers and prostitutes and then you suffered a mild...
No, sure. I had nothing to do with that. No, it was because I was hanging around the house and I was pushing a wheelbarrow and saying to them, fill this thing with money.
Okay, Joe, do you at least have a relationship with Janet's son, your other grandson? No.
We don't get along so good.
He's technically still a baby, Joe. He doesn't know anything.
I backed the truck up into that house. I said to Janet, put some of that billionaire Arab money in the back of this here truck.
Well, Joe, you know, it's not your money.
I made these children. How many times do I have to tell you? There would not be one successful Jackson if I hadn't made them all carry the bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard. And then in the evening, you know what they would do?
What would they do, Joe?
They would take the bricks from that side of the yard back to the other side of the yard where they came from in the first place. And if I hadn't done that, there would be no successful Jackson. Have you seen Tito? Have you seen Marlon? Have you seen Jackie? Of course, they are nowhere because I did not sit heavy on them like I did on Michael and Janet and Latoya and, well, maybe Jermaine. I don't know so much about Jermaine.
Well, how do you feel about Jermaine changing the spelling of his surname? Seems like he does...
Oh, he's crazy.
Oh, okay.
I tried to give him a job at Blu-ray Records. I said to him, here is a mop and a broom. I want you to clean in the car doors like my janitor.
Oh.
And he said, no, I'm too good for that. So I said to him, you got any money, Jermaine? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, exactly. Pick up the mop, motherfucker.
Oh. Joe, as always, it's always enlightening talking to you. But
I told him not to be rude to you, and then he has to start with that. Really, it's unacceptable.
It's just how he does things.
But a man of his age up this late. I mean, what is it, like 2 o'clock his time?
Yeah, he doesn't sleep.
He's working.
He's on medication, you know. That stay awake stuff.
Oh, the Jacksons.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a little bit on the Jacksons this morning. By the way, Mubs, guess what we're going to be doing at 7:30?
We are all excited. Going to...
Yes. So far, you're 100% right.
I'm like, where's this going?
Yeah, so far, you're perfectly correct.
Ooh.
We're all going to learn about etiquette.
Learn.
Oh!
And manners.
We don't want to learn on this show.
And socially acceptable behavior. No, you have to learn.
Why?
Especially you, Ben. You could do it. You were raised by wolves.
Wilderness.
I don't really have any problems, do I?
You have a lot of problems, my guy.
But, you know, since I was British royalty in a past life, I don't really need to learn. Cause,
okay. We'll see, Sia. We'll test you out.
You get one Union Jack cell phone cover, and now look at you.
Now, listen. Do you know what etiquette is? It's not these little rules that they used to indulge in the court of Versailles at Louis XIV's feet. This is the stuff that will help you to get along with people. We live in a very diverse and interesting society, and there are loads of things that we don't know that if we knew them, we'd be able to navigate our way through our social and business lives with much more ease. And that's what the School of Etiquette, the South African School of Etiquette, will teach us. We're going to speak to Courtney Carey from the South African School of Etiquette just now, and we'll find out all about the things that you are or aren't doing that are either getting in your way or helping you along. It's very interesting stuff. But first, a little news. Back to you, Mubs.
All right. So earlier this week, the Associated Press reported about the fact that the French government is preparing to look at the legal age for sexual consent. Twice in recent weeks, French courts refused to prosecute grown men for rape after they had sex with 11-year-olds. And this is because authorities couldn't prove coercion. Amid public horror, the government is now drafting a bill to say sex with children under a certain age is by definition coercive. And seemingly
Isn't
this
that
is
obvious.
Well,
what is wrong with these French people?
I thought it is obvious, Gareth, but it would seem that globally this is a very difficult thing to try and pinpoint and to try and get to a decision on is what the legal age for sex should be when it involves children.
What's wrong with 16, right? That's the legal age for consensual sex, but I reckon 18 is probably even safer. I mean, you can't help it if kids are having sex before then, but it shouldn't be legal.
Mm.
Well, and if you're an adult,
yeah,
you should
exactly.
You should not just be embarrassed, but you should be locked up in jail if you're having sex with someone under the age of 16. What's wrong with these French people? What's wrong with them?
Well, most countries have a law stipulating the age by which a child may legally decide to engage in sexual acts. And this helps to protect children against sexual exploitation by adults. But it also guards against young girls being sold off in marriage, which, as we know, is still a big problem. So let's begin with South Africa. The age of consent in South Africa is what?
16.
The age of consent is 16 for boys and girls. And this also includes same sexual experiences. Yeah.
16, you don't even know what your favorite ice cream flavor is, to be honest.
Okay, look, so you're saying that 16 is too low or too high. What? Too low. Too low. Okay. So for every rule, there are exceptions. And these are the kind of things that are taken into account if you look at the age of consent globally. So this is an interesting one. Boys versus girls. In some countries, the age of consent differs for boys and for girls. For example, in Botswana, the age of consent for girls is 14.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
16 for boys. What?
Well, because girls are smarter. You may be able to consent at 14, but most girls are clever enough to not do that.
I don't know. Why are people expecting...
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's ridiculous. Like, just make it one number, then people won't forget.
It is interesting that the age is lower for girls, as if, you know, what they're trying to do here is to have the girls as young as possible if they want to start having sex with them. But, you know, that might just be a thing.
It's to exploit. No, I think your instincts are right on this one.
In the DRC and Ecuador, it's 14 for girls and then 18 for boys.
18. Four years difference between them. That's insane.
Then they also take things like heterosexual versus homosexual sex into account. Yes. Some countries set a higher age restriction on homosexual sex, like the Bahamas, for example, where the age of heterosexual consent is 16, but then they hike it up to 18 if you are gay.
What about lesbians? That's the most safe kind of sex you could have.
Well, in Chile, the age of consent is 14 for boys and girls and lesbians, but if you're a gay man, you must be 18.
I heard in Uganda you have to be 87 before you can have gay sex.
So basically you've got to be almost dead.
Yeah.
So in many countries, homosexual sex is obviously forbidden, which is why the rules are different if you're a homosexual.
I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is...
Yeah, all right.
Then marriage is something that is also factored into the discussion. In a handful of countries, sex is only permitted inside marriage. Mm-hmm. The age limit varies from 21 in Bahrain to the Maldives, where it's nine.
Akbar, death to America.
Nine.
It's nine for girls in the Maldives.
What?
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but you know why. You know where that comes from. And this is a very upsetting thing, but it's all over the Quran and the Hadith. Muhammad's youngest bride, Aisha, was 9 years old when he married her. So he's the Prophet Muhammad. Okay. He can do no wrong. So if he did it, we can do it.
It's like a magic number.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, a nine-year-old, can you imagine what kind of depravity you would have to want to be married to a nine-year-old? To actually want to put a nine-year-old through that, I can't even begin to describe it.
Well, it's pedophilia.
Yeah,
just going to say that that's what it is. It's pedophilia.
Yeah,
I don't care what your prophet says.
You haven't
says.
Even gone through puberty properly at 9 years old.
No, I mean, you haven't even started, I don't think. You started, what, like 13, 12, 13. It's just wrong in every way. Mubs is right. It's just pedophilia. Sickening.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Maldives, 9 years old.
For girls, but 18 for boys, Gareth.
Yeah, you see?
So,
That's so that predatory men can have a good, clean conscience because the law says, I'm not doing anything wrong, when everything in nature rebels against it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Crime becomes very subjective when you can hide behind such wonderful things like, Muhammad was doing it, so I'll do it too.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. Are there any countries where you have to be really, really old to have sex?
There is a graph here that's been constructed with all the different age limits. So, you know, you look at a place like the Maldives where it's age 9 for girls.
Uh-huh.
The highest that they go up to seems to be 18 because that's...
Beyond that, you just can't stop them.
Beyond that, you're just old enough to know what you're doing.
Ugh. Don't fiddle with these ages. Just leave it alone. And in any case, if you ever find yourself asking, how old are you? Because you want to find out if it's legal to have sex with someone.
Mm.
Doesn't matter how old you are as the other interested party. It's probably too early. I'm just saying. I'm not a prude. You know that. Just don't go. Don't do it.
Mm-mm.
You know, you see so many people and that they... Can't you just go for someone your own age?
But someone your own age is too old, Gareth. They're not as enticing as, you know.
Then you need to go and sit with a shrink or something. You need to figure that out. It's a disease. That's what they say. They say that this is a disease. But I don't think we should change the age of consent. And I think that the French are crazy to want to change it.
Well, I mean, there were two cases recently where the courts ruled that, no, it wasn't coercion. When two men had sex with 11-year-olds, the court said, that's perfectly fine. Ugh. We don't see anything wrong here.
Yeah. Look, as a person in matric, says somebody here, people coming into grade 9 have already openly claimed to be virgins. When I was in grade 9, we were playing Minecraft and board games. What the hell? No one even cares about age of consent anymore. Oh, sorry, not to be virgins. So that's a message to the screen for us this morning. If adult men can't score with women in their own age bracket, they've got mental and social issues to be having sex with 14-year-olds, 10-year-olds. Go to a mental hospital, Anonymous.
No, just delete your life. It's not going to go anywhere from here. It just really isn't.
All right, anything else you want to throw in, Mubs?
Did you guys talk about this Oscar Pistorius movie that...
I can't wait to watch it. I saw it on DSTV Catch-Up.
I just watched it last night, actually.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
It's you bad, watched it? Is it available to
it's
see?
Bad. It's on DSTV Catch-Up, yes.
Yeah, because until the 16th of December.
Lifetime screened it on Saturday.
Oh.
And...
I
kind of skimmed through a couple of pieces and it looked so bad, but you want it to be bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's off the appeal.
I did not find a dreamer.
Lady, the witness is emotional, maybe.
Yeah, he's emotional because he saw his own movie and he thought, what a horrible, crappy movie.
If you know the tone of Lifetime movies, which are very cheesy, corny,
soft focus, that kind of thing,
just
right?
Bad. You know, then this is exactly what you can expect from the Oscar movie. I actually wanted to do my research and find out where it was filmed.
Yeah,
because the accents are so off.
Do they have someone really hot playing Reva?
Nah.
I think she used to be a model.
If you're into that look, I don't know. But she's no Reva, put it that way.
German model, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Does she have
she's
an
a
accent
very
like
average this? Looking blonde woman.
Well, I mean, Sia, you're right. Because a lot of the people were very quick to tear into the accent, saying, yet again, nobody can seem to get a good South African accent.
At all. At all. The Oscar dude, what I liked is they were able to really portray what we've heard whispers of, which is really that Oscar is kind of not okay in their head. He was very paranoid, very aggressive.
Oh, really? They make that make it look like that in the movie?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Like, in one scene, he's just sitting in his room playing with his guns. And several times over the movie, he would rewatch his own interviews.
Yeah.
So, like, there was... one particular scene after he was shouting at Reva and they were having a fight, then he storms downstairs, he puts headphones on and he just listens to an interview of himself.
Oh, okay.
Twisted. What else was there? Yeah, very jealous. They give us direct quotes from the texts which we heard in court. I wonder how much is accurate and how much is actually, what's it called, like artistic license, where the movie makers were creative with the whole thing. But listen,
I don't
want to
watch
watching.
This. Mm. You think you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
It's just like crap TV. You want to watch it. It's like...
But it's also very sensationalized.
Of course it
like
is.
June Steenkamp, we just saw very timid in court. In the movie, she's very outspoken. Just cozy up on the couch.
Most importantly, what does Black Twitter think of the Oscar Pistorius movie?
They hated it. But it wasn't just Black Twitter, Gareth. It was all Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, they were...
Is it called Oscar Pistorius Blade Runner Killer?
Yes.
Yeah. What a title.
Yeah.
All right. Sure. Okay.
I think I'll just rewatch it again for fun sometime this week again.
Sure. The guy doesn't look like Oscar.
I think the most accurate person they have, or the actors that they got, was actually June Steenkamp's character.
Oh, yeah.
And Emer
in the movie as well.
Emer, that's
We don't hear from Emer. We just see her in court with what's his brother's name? Carl?
Carl Pistorius, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here, listen to this. It's a scene from the movie.
I don't quit until I get what I want. You can be my personal angel while I train for the next Olympics.
I'm in this all the way with you, Papa.
Get out of my house! Stay where you are! No, stay!
Just tell me what happened.
He's smothering you. He's acting like an insane person.
Prove to me that this is what you want. That you are worthy of me and this relationship.
I am done!
Reva, get back here!
He fired down. He's telling us a pack of lies.
It's the cold facts that make it a premeditated murder.
Wow, Sia, you loved this, huh?
Oh.
You got into this in a big way.
Because, you know, I loved me even the Michael Jackson movie from Lifetime. So I'm a cornball. I'll admit that.
Hang on. Those accents didn't sound that bad to me. No, I mean, they sounded right. Better than when Matt Damon played Francois Pinot.
What South Africans have got to do is stop thinking we've got nice accents. We sound revolting to everyone else.
No.
We do. I'm talking about all of our accents. I'm talking about the Oscar Pistorius accent. I'm talking about the Harry Nell. I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about the Judge Masipa accent, all of them. We sound horrible to the rest of the world.
No, I was so disappointed by the Judge Masipa character. You'd think Mr. I Put It To You is a nice, corny accent to get.
Yeah.
They were totally off with the actor as well.
Who did they use for Judge Masipa?
Oh, I don't know. This other mama who
didn't
looks
use De La Reese?
Nothing close to Judge Masipa. Nothing at all.
All right, well.
Okay.
There we go. Thanks, Mavs. I'm glad you brought that up. Now I'm excited to not watch it.
Please do.
Come on, a part of you is curious. I'm just Come curious on. Because it's always about, well, that's not even close. And then you just pull the piss out of it.
Mm. I can't. I wouldn't be able to sit through it. I would think of it as a complete waste of my time. Maybe in the holidays. How long is it on for?
Until the 16th of December.
Okay, I'll budget some time. Let me see if I can suffer through it. All right, when we come back, etiquette time. It's time for all of you to learn some manners.
Okay.
All right? You rubbishes.
Oh.
It's all coming. Courtney Carey will be in with us in a second.
Wait a second, let me catch my breath. Remind me how it feels to hear your voice. Your lips are moving, I can hear a thing. Living life as if we had a choice. Anywhere, anytime, I would do anything for you. Anything for you. Yesterday, got away. Melody stuck inside your head. A song in every breath.
Alan Walker with Sing Me to Sleep. She got the most bizarre call.
Oh my
gosh. I got like a FaceTime call from some American number, and then there's a chick on there. Never seen her in my life before.
Oh, I'm
just like,
tearing
she's addressing
up on your
me
behalf.
By name. Yeah. I don't know what it was. Anyway.
She said, hello, sexiness.
Yeah, I know.
Change your online banking password right now.
How does that happen? Do you think she may be with someone who I do know?
But that's still not funny. Who, like, why would you text?
Nah, I don't know. I know, it's creepy. There are creepy people out there, Sia, who have no shame. All right, it is time for us to pay attention, because speaking of no shame, there are some people in South Africa who just, they don't know how to behave. And this is not, I'm not judging. A lot of us aren't sure about each other's cultural preferences, socially acceptable behavior, body language, the kinds of words we use, the way we look each other in the eye or we don't. All of this stuff is massively important, and Courtney Carey has started the South African School of Etiquette. In fact, it's been going for a while now, and she has helped us to figure out a few of these things, and she said she'd come in this morning. I mean, it's very nice of her. She didn't have to wake up so early. Right, Courtney? You decided you'd come and share this with us, because if we can learn, then anyone else can. If an ape like me can learn, then the rest of humanity has a chance.
Exactly.
All right, so first of all, I said earlier that etiquette's the fine art of getting along with people.
Right.
Is that what it is? So it's not what everyone thinks it is. They think, oh, this is some strange ritualistic behavior that happened in 17th century France and not since.
Right, so a lot of people do think it's teacups, knives and forks and sitting up straight.
Yeah.
But really, it's how we get along with people.
Okay.
And human beings are incredibly social. In fact, we're communal beings. And one of our deepest needs is the need to feel accepted or part of a group.
Right.
So every single day when we're conducting ourselves, we're constantly looking for validation and acceptance from people. And if we feel like we don't know how to respond or behave appropriately, we often register rejection.
Which is not good, because then you feel isolated. You can't necessarily do business with that person. You certainly can't get on with them socially.
Correct.
They make you feel excluded.
Right. Something that's quite interesting is that rejection registers in the brain in the same place that we register physical pain.
Hmm.
Oh.
So to the brain, it can't tell the difference between rejection or pain.
Hmm. That's why I feel so horrible to be rejected.
Right, and why you can remember it for years.
Yeah.
It's a mental scar.
That's true. I mean, if you think about the one or two times that you were most recently rejected, and it does, it feels pretty awful, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in other words, these rules, these social
guidelines,
constructs, guidelines, whatever you want to call them, they're actually there to help us not feel like we're left out, that we're alone, that we've been singled out, that kind of thing.
Right. You know, the main thing is that if people like you, they will help you.
Mm-hmm.
They will support you. They will go the extra mile for you. They will hire you.
Yeah.
It all comes down to how we get along with people.
If people
and how
don't
we relate
like you, you don't have a very good chance of holding on to that job.
Not at all.
And if you make yourself unlikable, it gets worse.
Right. Now, a lot of people get it wrong. They believe that everyday business conduct is about getting the task done. But actually, before task must always be relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is culturally, this does go according to your culture though. So if you go to places like Germany, there it's task orientated. Don't take time to make friends, just right. Get the job done. Whereas in South Africa and Africa at large, it's relationships.
Right. Okay, so why did you develop an interest in etiquette? Where did this come from?
So my family used to own a boutique hotel.
Okay.
And what we noticed is that when people came into this establishment and they felt uncomfortable or inadequate, one of two things happened. First thing, people would come in, freeze, panic, sit in the closest chair in the darkest corner, and there they would sit the whole night, frozen to the chair, not saying a word.
Okay.
The other thing that happened is that the guests would become quite obnoxious, quite quite rude with the staff.
Yeah.
They'd nitpick. And what we saw there was this fight-fright mechanism coming out of people because they didn't feel adequate, because they didn't know how to behave. So it was actually at the suggestion of my mother who said, let's start an etiquette school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, you know, etiquette, I did etiquette classes at school. They sound old school. They sound fuddy-duddy, whatever it is. But I actually went on and I looked up what it meant. And it was that fine art of getting along with people. Mm-hmm. And it was also the correct behavior for an environment.
I mean, we learn so much at school. And even if you do go to university, you learn a lot about the subject matter.
Correct.
But it doesn't teach you. There are a couple of massive gaps in education. The one is like how you manage your money. The other one is how you manage relationships and how you deal with other people. And learning these things will help you to get ahead. If you can eat properly at a big dinner with a whole lot of other people, it's not about showing off that you know things about how knives and forks work that other people don't. It's about making everyone else comfortable by not doing something crazy.
That's it.
Right?
Well, 85% of your financial success, so how much money you make in life, is dependent on your ability to get along with people. 15% is due to your technical skill, which you've spent...
Wow, 85%.
85%. If people like you, if you get along with people, you get ahead. There's many people that have the same qualifications as you. But what sets you apart is whether people like you and get along with you.
Why do so many people struggle with that?
In my personal opinion, it is the fear of rejection. We all have extremely, or many of us have extremely brittle self-esteems.
Mm.
And it is that fear of rejection. So as a result, we're constantly questioning ourselves, are we comfortable in the situation? Are we doing the right thing? And by questioning yourself, you actually lose focus on the job at hand.
All right, in South Africa, we have a number of different ways to greet people, for example.
Right.
Do you cover all of this in your courses?
So the first thing that I state up front is that it's the correct behavior for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And that means whenever the environment changes, the correct behavior changes. It would be, or it is necessary for all of us to be aware of the pertinent cultural differences in our country.
Right. We've got a huge amount of diversity. Some people you don't touch. Some people are very touchy-feely. Some people are all about looking in the eyes. Some people are not.
Right.
Some people are about handshakes. Other people are not.
Yes. So at the very start of our trainings, we state this and we say, right, we're going to give you a whole lot of skills.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that these will always adjust according to your environment and the people you're with. But when in doubt, follow the host's lead.
Okay.
So I often find that's a big help for a lot of people. If you don't know what you're doing, look towards the host and do what they're doing. And that will certainly help.
All right. Is there a difference between the way that we behave in a business environment and the way that we behave around people who are our social acquaintances and friends?
Absolutely.
All right. What are the major differences?
Well, within business, there's a degree of professionalism. So how we greet people,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be more formality to it. There's got to be, or generally we say every meeting should start and end with a handshake. When you introduce people, in the business world, there's hierarchy. So actually, the person who holds the highest rank should have their name mentioned first.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose the way that you enter a room, you have to announce your presence. People you know already or a casual setting, you can create a far more casual, convivial environment. But when it's a professional setting, there's a standard that you have to set.
And this is about being taken seriously. Like this is not just, gracious behavior. This is actually about people taking you seriously. They appreciate your skill. They appreciate your talent. They appreciate your position, the job that you do, the value that you can bring.
Right.
But unless you are willing to behave a certain way, they don't know how to appreciate that stuff.
Correct. You know, how you conduct yourself sends a message to people that says, I know what I'm doing, I'm confident, I'm comfortable, I'm successful.
Mm-hmm.
People that are unsure, even if they know what they're doing in their job, if you appear unsure, People don't want to buy into you or your product or your service.
What about body language?
Incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
55% of how you communicate is through your body.
7%, not through what you say.
7% is through words.
Wow. I put such an emphasis on the words. I'm obviously not paying attention.
Right. I always say it's a secret, secret language. If you just take the time to focus on people's bodies,
yeah,
you will see so much more of what's going on.
Sia has tons of questions for you. He says that he already knows many of these rules of etiquette and
how to say. So modestly, yes.
Yeah, well. Right. So, and Sia's a very well-mannered guy, and he seems to be able to get along with many people. So maybe he does.
How much do we actually, like now, in this day and age, are people still as hung up and judge you for you used, oh my goodness, the dessert fork instead of, you know, the salad fork or whatever the case is? Because I want to get to that level where I do judge people.
That's all Sia wants. He wants to
be do.
Sia's a snob.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? You actually, it's unfortunate, but we're losing that degree of formality at some restaurants. So if you go to a fine dining restaurant, sometimes they'll just give you a whole mix of cutlery and say, mm-hmm, use what you want. But you know what? It's not about saying, oh, that person's doing it right or that person's doing it wrong. It's about if you are sat at a table where you see 12 pieces of cutlery, you don't feel intimidated, you don't feel uncomfortable, you know exactly what you're doing with the table, so that the focus is either on the business or the social aspect at hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about rising yourself above other people so you can feel in a position of power, but rather make yourself feel comfortable so that you can make the people around you feel comfortable.
Okay. And then, for example,
in other words, see, it's not about being superior.
Kind of to me.
And you were going to say I interrupted you, so.
Dress code in different social settings. If there's a theme to a dinner party, is the rule rather overdress than underdress always accurate?
So, something I do need to admit is that South Africans don't understand dress codes.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't exactly understand. Right. If somebody
I saw a guy in khaki shorts at a wedding the other day.
Yeah, it happens a lot. If somebody says smart or formal, men are in suits and women are in little black numbers or floor-length dresses.
What's smart casual?
Smart casual. So the first word smart is the main word. So 70% smart, 30% casual. So for a guy, it would be mismatched top and bottom. So you could have trousers that don't match your jacket, but you're still in a jacket.
Okay.
You could be in a full suit without a tie.
Mm-hmm.
That's smart casual. Oh. So dress smart and then add something casual or remove something that adds a degree of casualness to it.
Okay.
Is it ever acceptable to take your shoes off at a wedding, for example? You know, like it's a long day, you want to dance, you're sitting at reception.
I mean, I think so.
There we go. Okay. Those are my basics. But, that's all I
follow
need to
the
cover.
Host, yeah? When in doubt, follow the host on this one.
Well,
one tip that I do have, I mean, because this is predominantly for women who take their shoes off, always invest in a pair of smart wedges, black or nude. You can't go wrong, because then you can be in the grass, you can dance a lot. It's a lot easier.
Okay, and you take those in your bag to the wedding?
No, you wear them.
Oh, you wear them the whole way?
Oh. Right.
All right, I got you. I don't know. What do I know about wedges? What are wedges?
I
thought those are like pieces you cut out of a wheel of cheese.
No.
You never cut a wedge from a wheel of cheese.
A wedge heel is often like a cork heel.
Oh, right. Okay.
There we go.
All right, very good. Do you think that a lot of these things are, as Sia indicated earlier, do you think a lot of them are kind of outdated? And what stuff can we throw away? When you look at the etiquette of perhaps the late 1800s or the early 1900s, there is stuff that we've left behind.
There's a lot that we've left behind.
It's just not relevant anymore, right?
Right. And that's the thing, is it's etiquette's not about harboring or hanging on to old, outdated traditions. It's meant to help you with current situations, current society. So with regards to, say, small talk, the topics have been the same for the last 50 years. They're the same tried and tested topics. They're not hugely original. However, what's really nice is that we are seeing conversations about apps coming out, blogs coming out, who do you follow on YouTube?
Yeah.
So there is that update.
You can always have those conversations, because that's awkward for people, is to break the ice, to kind of start a conversation with someone.
Right.
Are we still sticking to the rules of you never bring up politics, sex, religion, and what's the other one? At a dinner party or small talk?
So those are the three controversial ones.
Okay.
But there's a few. You don't bring up your
90% of my conversation. God. You don't bring up ill health.
Ill health.
Yeah, please. Can we reiterate that? Because
what do you mean?
Well, when you meet someone and you say, how are you? You're not really looking for a medical report.
Right.
Oh. And they say to you, oh, well, my ankle was sore and yesterday I didn't sleep so well and I've got this really bad verruca on my inner sole of my foot.
You asked how I was, and so now I'm going to tell you about the new mold that I've discovered.
But I don't really, I'm not asking you how you are because I care about your health report. I'm interested in you just being fine to talk to me and you're not going to throw up all over me.
Right, so the thing to know is that small talk is with people you don't know well.
Yeah.
It's not with your friends. So, you know, with your friends, you are going to get into the meaty, juicy topics. But small talk, you don't want to start an argument with someone, or you don't want to talk about negative topics. Mm. Because when people think back to having a conversation with you, they're going to think, what a negative human being. They've just sucked the energy out.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to keep those first meetings, those first conversations positive about things that you're both interested
in. And that everyone can relate to. So you don't get stuck in a situation where you make someone feel that they don't know anything. Because that's awful. Because then they go, well, I don't want to talk about politics because I don't know anything about politics. I stay away from that. Or religion or sex or even something more mundane like the economy. Keep it accessible.
Well, that's it. A lot of people, if you're in a group with individuals from the same industry, they tend to go into business talk business jargon. And that's actually bad manners because you isolate the people that are not part of that.
Mm.
So my fiance is in property. Mm-hmm. And property is the talk of the day with every single person he meets. And every now and then I just have to remind him, hey, there's other people in the room. Let's keep the topics where everyone can get involved.
Just one last thing. I mean, it's quite nice that some traditions survive. I, for example, make an effort whenever I get gifts or whenever anyone does anything really nice to actually write them a letter.
Right.
And some people don't know how to do that.
Like a thank you note?
An actual handwritten letter, because it really does mean a lot. If you send someone an email, that's all good and well, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It makes a massive difference. People remember that. They put the letter somewhere. They keep it for like 10 years or whatever. And delete the email. You don't keep that.
Yeah. A lot of people remark on that. Handwritten letters are extremely well received.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
we're thinking
it might be worth putting together a whole bunch of these etiquette tips and basically put together a series of podcasts on how people can improve their social and business goings on. I think it would be a good idea, don't you?
I have an endless fountain of useful information that I wish I'd known earlier on in life.
Yeah, all of us could benefit from this. And you might think, oh, well, this doesn't apply to me because, you know, I was raised by X, Y, and Z. That's not true. There's lots that you could be missing. And in fact, depending on how either you're too sure of yourself, then you do need some etiquette lessons, or if you're completely unsure of yourself, those are the people who need it the most.
Right. And, you know, I always say if you want to work less and earn more, look into this stuff. Because
doesn't that
this
sound
is,
sensible?
This is the hard skills. A lot of people think soft skills are soft and useless. They are hard skills you use every single day of your life.
Well, Courtney, thank you for coming to see us.
You're welcome.
Marvelous. Coming up in a moment or two, we'll talk to Jesse Clegg. Had a nice long conversation with Jesse Clegg, which I'm going to give to you in a second to listen to. And a terrific guest. But Courtney's been a terrific guest too. Mubs, thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Sia. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you most especially to you. Here's what you need to know to round off your morning. Robert Mugabe is about to be impeached. ZANU-PF says the only way forward, as the dictator refuses to step down, is to impeach him. The question is, why go through an impeachment when all you have to do is just tuck him in a little better at night and he'll never be seen again? Charles Manson has just died. And with that, hell has suddenly got a little creepy. For the past few years, things were actually going pretty well in the fiery pits of hell. Hitler had opened a strudel store, Fidel Castro was making everyone cigars, and Robert Kardashian is sharing some great OJ stories at dinner. But now Manson looks to really offset the community vibe, and the people are scared about how things are going from here. And finally, Alistair Coetzee, speaking of hell, continues to feel the heat as the Buck Tour continues. He knows he has to pick more black players, but that means dropping his favorite players. He's putting a fresh spin on this, saying that the current poor Buck environment is not quite the time to bring in new blood and talent. But this is bound to backfire, as he's the cause of the current poor Buck environment, as mentioned. That's your UN News for this morning. CliffCentral.com.